Now we come today to Acts chapter 14, Acts 14 beginning in verse 1. And Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Acts chapter 14 verse 1, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. So we see that the apostles' teaching had great results. But that doesn't mean they used fancy words or great debating skills. It simply means that they spoke the word of God clearly, because that's where the power is. Verse 2, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. These unbelieving Jews were spiritual poison. They killed the faith of those who had believed or perhaps were moving in that direction. Some people will be lost because they spent too much time with spiritual poison. The Bible says, bad company corrupts good morals. Verse 3, a long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, who gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. The apostles said what needed to be said. They spoke the holy word of God, and they spoke it with conviction. And good things were happening. I mean, that's enough to get people who want truth excited all by itself. But then God did miracles to back what they taught as well. Verse 4. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. If a preacher's message doesn't cause division, then he has failed to deliver truth clearly. In a sinful world like this one that we live in, truth is going to divide. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword, division. That's the word of God. Verse 5, and when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And I love their persistence, don't you? Their persistence was great. If a door closed in one area, they went someplace else. They didn't give up. Their message was correct. What they were doing was correct. As a result, they will continue to do it or die trying, but they just keep going from place to place. You know, the word of God is worth proclaiming, even if no one receives it. It's worth proclaiming because it is correct. Verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from birth, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who, steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Let's just stop there for a second. The word of God gave this man faith. The Bible produces faith because it is the supernatural, living word of Almighty God. Every word of Scripture is God-breathed, and it never changes, and there's power there. Real power. 10. So Peter said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. He didn't just stand, he leaped, he sprang, and then he walked. He was happy, wasn't he? We have to guard against taking simple things like standing and walking for granted. Learn from this man that the truly important things in life are often overlooked and unappreciated. He was happy. Verse 11. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. The people in that pagan area believed in many gods, and they believed that every now and then those gods would appear on earth as human beings. Consequently, they think Paul and Barnabas are two of those gods, Zeus and Hermes. They believed that Zeus, their top god, this is what they used to believe, Zeus, their top god, would allow Hermes to tag along with him on his visits to earth, and that's what they think is happening here. 13. Then the priest of Jupiter, whose temple was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Each city had their favorite god who they thought was their protector. Zeus was Lystra's god, and that's why they had a temple for him, and they also had an image of him at the entrance to the city. They were big on Zeus in Lystra. So this was a big day for Lystra because they actually believed that their god has made a visit in the flesh. 14. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they tore their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are in them." And this is why Paul and Barnabas are there. They are shocked at the idea of being worshipped. And any godly person will feel uncomfortable when they are receiving too much attention, more attention than Jesus. And not just humans, but good angels too. That's how they react. 16. Speaking of God, who in times past allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. From the beginning, the Israelites were fortunate because they had the Word of God, but the Gentiles were pretty much left to their own ways. Things are different now. Things are changing because they are hearing the Word of God as well. Now they are being taught God's way also. And along with that comes responsibility. 17, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. It barely worked. You know, these heathen needed to get their eyes off their useless idols and onto the living God. They didn't have the Word of God like the Jews, but they still had plenty of evidence that there is one true God, and so they should have known better. There's plenty of natural evidence that proves that the God of creation is real and deserves to be worshipped. Lack of biblical knowledge may perhaps cause the sincere to worship this God as perhaps he who has no name or the unknown God. But those who respect truth, those who are sincere, know that he's out there, that there's a supreme God who made it all, and that they are accountable to him. So there was no excuse for worshiping all these false gods. 19. And there came there certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. What in the world is this? Talk about fickle. One minute they are worshiping Paul, and the next minute they are stoning him. Just like that. And by the way, the offspring of these Galatians settled in Western Europe. So these fickle rock throwers may well be our grandfathers if your ancestors are from Western Europe. And maybe that's why so many Americans are fickle rather than steadfast with regards to the Word of God. We get it from our parents. Verse 20, nevertheless, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up, Paul rose up, and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now this is a miracle. What a miracle. A person isn't viciously stoned to death, or at the very least, nearly stoned to death one day, and then traveling on his own power the next. It just doesn't happen. Paul should be dead, but he isn't, because God's not finished using him yet. 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So when Paul said that believers must suffer tribulations as Christians, he wasn't using a pious cliche, was he? He lived it. Nothing like personal experience to drive home the word of God and make your testimony and the words that you speak believable. But Jesus never promised Christians that we would have all of our desires if we just believed hard enough. Jesus never said that our lives would be easy. He said, unless you deny yourself for my sake, you cannot be my disciple. That's what he said. 23, and when they had ordained elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commanded them to the Lord on whom they believed. So they established leadership, and then they left. 24, and after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. So, Paul's first missionary journey. Let's actually read verse 26. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. So, Paul's first missionary journey was a success because they went where God led and they spoke what God commanded, and they didn't quit, even when it got painful. Perseverance can be painful, can't it? But the only way a Christian fails is if they quit. If they quit saying and doing what God wants. 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they reviewed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples, talking about in Antioch. And notice how they reported everything that God did. Every step Paul and Barnabas took and every word they spoke was done by the grace of God, and that's what they're testifying to. Christians are tools, and that's about it. We are tools to be used by the hand of God, and he deserves every bit of credit for anything that we may accomplish.